Welcome. Welcome to each and every one of you. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a joy to gather here together at Wellspring. I love to see your faces and just the ways that you, by your presence here, inspire me. It's really true, just your presence, your faithfulness, each and every one of you. And so we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for the way that just by showing up, we are contributing to what God's doing in the world in some mysterious way that we can't see, but one day we shall be able to know fully as we have been fully known what God is doing. We had our fall festival today out on the parking lot. That was awesome. I got dunked 5 times in the water. I made it. I survived, and I'm here to speak about it. So it was a lot of fun, and we did raise money for some of our local feeding opportunities with table and with snack, and so it was just a great time. Come next year if you can. We have the season coming up of heading into Advent, where we prepare for Christmas. But before that, there is a Sunday where we celebrate All Saints, where we celebrate all those who have died in the faith in the last year. And so we invite you after the service, if you have friends, loved ones, someone you know who has passed away this past year, and you would like their name read aloud and offered up as a blessing on that Sunday, the first Sunday of November, there are some sign-up sheets out on the table. We invite you to sign their name there. I'm going to read our passage from Matthew, and then we'll pray together. We are in the season of generosity, and so we are talking about how do we surrender everything that we have to God for God's good use. So hear these words from Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and do not steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if the eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light in you is darkness. How great that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we are trusting you to break open the scripture the way you break open the bread at the table. The way that you pour your spirit out, that we may have a deeper understanding, a clearer understanding of who you are and who we are. We pray that you would speak into us the words of life, that we may leave this place filled with a deeper sense of how we can serve you in the world and live more fully as your children. We lift up the needs of this world, O God. There are so many. You know each and every one of them. Of the world, of every culture, of every government, of every nation, of every society, of all individuals, of all who suffer tonight, we lay them at the foot of the cross. Lord, the problems of the world are not human-sized, they are God-sized. And so we give them back to you and ask that you help us participate in the coming about of your kingdom as your people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and glorifying to you. For you alone, are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So many years ago when my kids were little, we tried to teach them how to kind of think about the money that they might earn from doing chores or money they might get for birthdays and give them some boxes to put them in, three different boxes. And one was a box for God, one was a box to save, and one was a box to be able to do whatever you wanted to with, right? To spend however you wanted to spend. And I remember when we talked about the idea that in the Old Testament talks about giving 10% of what you have to God. I remember Chloe coming to me later and saying, "Are you sure that's right? Because that's not very much to give to God." And I remember thinking, "Wow, she is right. Are you sure that's right, Mom? That's not very much to give to God." And I think maybe her brother said, "Do you want to just give it all to God?" And she's like, "No, I want to," you know. Then they started this. And then she began to realize, I better hold on to what I've got because I want to be able to spend it the way he is going to spend his. And I remember thinking, there it is right there. There it is, an image of who we are in creation. The way that really our hearts and our spirits want to give back to God. We really are created, you know, with this God-shaped place in us that cannot be satisfied with anything else. And yet, so our instinct, our desire is to serve God, and then kind of our human nature kicks in, right? And we begin to think, wait a minute, there might not be enough for me. Or you might have more than I have, and I want to make sure that I have enough so that I can kind of keep up with your spending. You know, even when my kids were little, I saw them demonstrate this to me. Watching a movie recently, it involved lots of things, but there was a scene where the CIA was battling these drug cartels. And there was a Colombian man, a man from Colombia, who was helping out our government. And so he had crossed the border into the States and was riding in the car with these agents, and they were kind of taking stock of things and driving around and looking at a lot of opulent homes and different things, and then went into a more modest area. But the Colombian looked at the American man, and he said quietly but very sharply, "The appetite here never ceases to amaze me. The appetite here never ceases to amaze me." And he was talking about the appetite of the appetite that our society has for drugs, which drives, you know, the drug trade, as well as other nations in the world. But certainly we do our part in keeping that industry going. But in addition to that, he was talking about the appetite of this huge country and kind of this consumer reality that we live in. That's not to make us feel badly about ourselves, but just to lift up kind of the water that we swim in, and we aren't always aware of it. The appetite here never ceases to amaze me. So one of the questions I began to ask myself is, what do I have an appetite for? What do I have an appetite for? What do I have a taste for in my life? And how does that impact what I consume? Sometimes I find that I have an appetite for things that are completely inane, empty. But boy, do they seem to taste good. I remember for years, I was a Diet Coke enthusiast. I really just could not get through most days without having a Diet Coke, and I began to feel really like, oh, you know, this is not a good thing, but I kept doing it, and finally began to try to wean myself off of it with seltzer water, different things like that. And so finally, I was able to let that go and was so grateful for that sort of shedding of Diet Coke out of my life. And I remember that it used to taste so good to me, Like, I remember taking a sip of Diet Coke and truly, like, just having this sense of, like, well-being and pleasure. Strange, I know, but true. If you're a Diet Coke fan, you know this to be true. And maybe even especially with, like, a chocolate chip cookie. Like, they set each other off perfectly well. But in any case, what I realized is that when I then began to drink Diet Coke after I had given it up for some time, it just tasted like chemicals to me. That's all it began to taste like. And I began to think about my spiritual life, how I live my life in relationship to God, and how sometimes I can consume the equivalent of Diet Coke or processed food spiritually and believe that I'm getting nourishment from it. And then I realize, as I grow deeper, as I spend more time in Scripture, spend more time coming to worship really matters. It really matters for the health of our spiritual lives. Sometimes it's hard to find a good preacher, right? But our spiritual, that was supposed to be funny. But our spiritual lives really matter. I'm not saying I'm one of them, a good one. I'm just saying it's hard to find a good one. But our spiritual lives really matter. And not consuming things that do not satisfy. We spend our lives chasing after things that do not ultimately satisfy. I know Pastor Ben and I and Pastor Kristen have been talking a little bit about the terrible destruction of the hurricanes that have come through Florence and then Michael. Ben drove down to Camp Don Lee, which is near and dear to his heart. It's a United Methodist camp near, I think it's near like Seafair down that way. And they were just decimated by Florence. I mean, the buildings completely destroyed. And homes, I mean, just home after home after home, trailer parks, I mean, just completely destroyed. And when he came back, he said, you know, I absolutely know it to be true that, you know, everything is dust and to dust it returns. But when you see that again, we are reminded, he was reminded of how temporary the things of this world are. How temporary physical things, stuff, possessions, all of that is fleeing and passing and will eventually, maybe sooner than later, go away and fade away. I was thinking about also how I spend a lot of time. I have the whole, really, I get to do the most amazing work in ministry, walking with people through the valley of the shadow of death. It is probably one of the most humbling privileges that you have as a minister. And it is holy ground to walk with someone down that path as they know and you know that they are passing from this world to the next. And time after time after time, I have talked long hours and prayed long hours with different people of all ages. And never once has anyone said to me, ever, and I've been doing this, I don't know, 25 years, not consistent, but pretty consistent, but never has anyone said to me, I really wish I had earned more money, or I really wish I had spent more time working, or I really wish I had spent more time at work. Even if they do something meaningful, even if their work brings them great joy, no one ever says that as their life on this earth is coming to an end. What they talk about as being important are relationships, family, friends, loved ones, and a legacy, whatever it is that they have been able to do for others, to leave the world a better place than they found it. These are the lasting realities. And certainly, above everything in there, is to pass on a faith in God, is to pass on to someone that God matters, that God is impacting the world all the time for good, that God is real. And that not only that, but God desires a relationship with us, a real relationship, where we can be really mad at him and yell at him, where we can some days refuse to speak to him, but a relationship that is authentic and genuine. To pass that on to even one person is a treasure that we pass on earth, but it is a treasure that we store up in heaven. Because I do believe that when we participate in the generosity of God's heart is fundamentally generous. The love of God pours out in generosity. That's how creation came about, was the generosity of God's creative love that poured out of God, because God could not stop it, because it was just so immense and God desired it to be so. That when we participate in generosity, we are participating in the life of God in ways that we cannot understand fully. And we know this because we know on some level it is more blessed to give than to receive. We know on some level that it is far, far more satisfying to be able to do for others than necessarily to withhold or to plan for ourselves. So what do you have an appetite for? What is it that you are seeking after to fulfill your appetite in your life? What am I looking for to fulfill my appetite? I know that C.S. Lewis has this wonderful illustration, I'm sure I've used before, about how he talks about how the invitation God gives us into relationship with God is so extravagant, that it is so beautiful, that it tastes so delicious, that we can't even begin to understand that. And so we settle for so much less. We settle for a shadow glimpse of what God offers us in relationship with him through Jesus. And so he describes it, C.S. Lewis, as children who are given an invitation to come to a holiday at the shore, and they refuse to leave the mud puddle where they're playing because they think that that's all there is, or the best that there is. We satisfy ourselves with mud puddles when God is inviting us to bask on the shore and the beauty of the earth, of the ocean. I know when we, Scott and I, got married, we met with someone who talked to us about planning and thinking about our finances. And this is a good thing, right? We have to do this, to think about how we spend our money and what do we do with it. And I remember when we left there, and the person we saw was great, but I remember thinking to myself, you know, instead of paying ourselves first, God calls us to think about how to give to him first. The message God gives us is different. We're called to offer all that we have to God first, and we are told that it's more blessed to give than to receive, that in losing our life, we gain it. And does this mean we don't save and we don't spend? Absolutely not. But it does mean that we take account for how we live and we offer everything in our lives, not just our finances, but our time, our energy, our prayers. And I talked about last week, when you join the church, the vows that you make, what does the church expect? Will you promise to support the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? So all that we have to surrender to God for God's good use, for God's good purpose on earth. And we don't think of this as storing up riches in heaven. We don't think of it that way, do we? We think of it as simply a response to the grace that we have been given. If you know God's love, if you know God's love, and you've opened your heart to God's love through Christ, you know a joy that is so real that it is only natural to want to overflow and to respond back to that great love. We don't have the eyes to see how God uses what we give in this world, financially and otherwise, really. I mean, we might see, like, you know, a new building or a whatever in our church, or, you know, mission trips, different things that our money goes for. But we don't have the eyes to see how God uses those small acts of kindness, the kind word that we may offer to someone, the kind word, the thoughtful glance, the forgiving attitude. We don't know how God uses that and weaves it into this tapestry of beauty. But we know that we one day will see face to face, and we will understand as we have been fully understood. When we genuinely entrust our lives to God and all parts of it and try to take those steps, maybe we can't do it all at once, but we can take simple steps to entrusting our lives to God. When we trust small and large acts of generosity, what God always does is what God does, and that is God blesses it and multiplies it. Anything we offer to God for God's use, for God's purpose, it's like the story of the loaves and fishes all over again. God takes the little bit that we offer, even if it's a small amount, and say, Lord, this is all I can give you right now. And whether that's, you know, in our prayer time or whether that's in our finances, this is all I can give you right now, but I really am giving this to you. God always blesses it, breaks it, and multiplies it, always, for the use of God's kingdom. I do believe that we can be a part of God's kingdom coming on earth by participating in the generosity of God's Spirit. We store up treasure in heaven, not for pie in the sky by and by, but we store up treasure in heaven by helping participate in God's generous creativity on earth. We participate in the kingdom's coming on earth. So how do we invest in the things of God? How do you invest in the things of God? Well, showing up here is one of them, right? Showing up here, worshiping together. What are some other ways that you can think of that you invest in the things of God? How are you participating in generosity, in living out peace, love, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control? How are you living out the fruits of your spirit to invest, the fruits of God's spirit to invest in the things of God? Generosity is at the heart of God, and when we give for God's purposes, we participate in the life of God, and I can't think of anything more exciting. Where is your treasure? What are you investing in? How do we lay up treasure in heaven? Not for one day in the great blue yonder, in the great beyond, but how do we lay up treasure that comes to fruition even now in God's earth all around us? God doesn't need us to give, but we need to give because we were created by a generous God for generosity. And when we live into giving, we are living into the fullness of who God created us to be. So I hope that someday I will be more like Chloe when she was 5, who said, "That's not very much to give to God, Mom." I hope I will continue to grow, to be more like that child's mind, where I don't need to hold on, but I'm willing to surrender and let go and see what God does. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.